have been doing that. At the end of the service, we have the basket down here for you. And I want to thank you for New Life Family for your giving. When we met with our trustees, we found out last year was a 32% increase in our annual in the annual giving. So we thank the Lord for that. And He takes care of us. And as long as we strive to do what's right, He's going to take care of us. His blessings are there. And we have found out already, anytime we reach out to the community, reach out to help others, the money's there. The finances come. So we're looking forward to this year of what God has in store this year and all of our outreaches that we do. And we're going to see some mighty things. Amen. And you can see some mighty things in your life. You can believe for great things as you sow into this ministry and in your giving in obedience to what God has you give. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just pray right quick before over our giving today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we, those that do prepare to give, Lord, here at the end of the service, we thank you. Thank you for the those, all of our New Life Family, the givers, God. They give in so many ways, Lord, in their time and in their prayers and in themselves, oh God. We thank you, not only in their finances, but we thank you today for that, Lord. And I speak blessings over them. And Lord, we acknowledge you as our source, that you provide all of the resources. And so we thank you for that, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, are we ready? We're ready, all right. Okay, well, I want to... All right. Amen, amen. I want to welcome all of you online that are watching today. We pray that you be blessed by the word that comes forth. And we welcome you. We welcome our church family again here today to New Life Ministries. And so excited about what God is doing in our lives, excited about the Word today. So let's just get right into it. If you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, we have it online here. We might pull a good one of these days and not put it up here on the screen. And wouldn't that be something for you to have your Bibles with you? That would just be amazing. Isaiah chapter 43. Beginning with verse 15, I'm reading this particular portion of Scripture from the New Life Translation. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. Everybody say new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls, too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. Amen. Awesome verses. Title of my message this morning is Goodbye Past, Hello New. Goodbye Past, Hello New. Amen. All right, let's look at a few more verses here right quick. This is from Exodus chapter 14. These are going to be from the King James. Since Jesus spoke King James, we're going to do accordingly. How's that? Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then we'll skip down to verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Verse 30. Thus said the Lord, or thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for His word today. And again, this word is for somebody today. After 400 years of slavery and bondage and oppression, we find that God sends a deliverer by the name of Moses to the children of Israel. After visiting Egypt with 10 plagues, Pharaoh drove out the children of Israel. And the Bible says they left Egypt with jewels of silver and jewels of gold, of which the Egyptians gave them. And then after reconsidering, Pharaoh regrets letting Israel go. He desires to bring them back under his hand to reclaim his slaves. And so he pursues them with 600 of his chosen chariots, captains over every one of them, the Bible says. After 400 years of slaves, as slaves, Israel comes out of the furnace of bondage thinking that it was all over. They thought that chapter of their lives was over and that they would never again feel the sting of the taskmaster's whip upon their backs, that they would never again suffer under the oppression of the iron hand of a dictator over their lives. But Pharaoh did not want it to be over. Pharaoh wanted them back under his dominion. How many know the devil doesn't let go very easy? The devil does not want to give up any territory that he has claimed as his own. But I've come to tell someone on this somewhat warmer Sunday morning, thank you, Jesus, the 23rd of February, 2025, that he's losing the fight. He's losing the fight. I've come boldly to proclaim a right now, on time word into someone's life, if you will hear it. As we journey through 2025, even though I'm fat and I'm old and I'm bald and I'm hard of hearing and I walk with a limp, I'm determined to see, Brother North, an end to the Father of Lies work in our lives. Amen. I didn't say ugly. I didn't mention that. Yes, we will have those battles to fight, but how many know there comes a time we have to decide when enough is enough? Are you hearing me this morning? We've been given every weapon that we need to win, and so we better use them like never before in this day and hour. Amen? Remember, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to speak over our lives and our loved ones. And guess what? It renders powerless the sting of the scorpion and the bite of the serpent. That being the hurtful actions and poisonous words to bring God's people down. You have to know the devil will use anybody, whether they realize it or not, to come after the family of God. He wants to destroy God, but he knows that's impossible. So what does he do? He goes after God's children. We have the name above every name, that being the mighty name of Jesus, that when spoken with intent, called out in a shout, or a cry from our lips, can paralyze the enemy just as he's about to strike. We have the shed blood of Jesus to cover us and keep us, and it's just as effective today as it was over 2,000 years ago. We have the weapon of praise to our God, which can break the chains of bondage and open prison doors in the midnight time of our lives. And there's still power in the blood, and there's still power in the name of Jesus, and there's still power in His Word. I want to remind us that in response, just one prophetic utterance from the mighty God can crumble the mountains in our lives. One word from the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace can change the seasons of our lives. A prophetic word can bring things to life, and yes, will bring things to a death. The prophetic word creates a beginning, and it also establishes an end. And if allowed to do so, I believe this word this morning that you hear and you claim for yourself can and will create and establish today as the conclusion of some old things and beginning of something new and afresh in our individual lives and in this church. Can you say amen? I just happen to believe that many of you today are going to reach the finality of some things going on in your life. As an under-shepherd watching over this flock that God has entrusted me with, I may know of situations some are dealing with because you have shared those with me. But there may be something going on in your life that has been trying to destroy you that only you know about. Have you ever heard this expression, "It's going to be the death of me yet"? Can I tell you, don't declare that over yourself. Look at somebody and say, "Stop it." It could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, it could be financial, it could be relational. Let me ask you, how many times have we faced situations and circumstances and problems in our lives and wish we could just put a period on it and move on? How many times have you wished you could just say, "That's it, enough is enough," and it would be over? How many times have you looked at the mountains and the trials and the giants in your life and heard the devil say, "It's always going to be like this. You might as well just accept it." And then he really pushes his boundaries and he says, "Oh, it'll be easier on you if you just learn to live with it." No, we're not. Listen, when we hear that, our blood ought to begin to boil. Forget about checking my blood pressure because it's going to be high. Amen. There's something about us that when our normal is interrupted, there is an immediate resistance and we fight against it. Did you know that? Yet sadly, when the situation or the problem continues over a prolonged period of time, watch this now, then we tend to lose our fight and ultimately accept our condition, our situation, our problem as the new normal. So I've come again this morning with a renewed determination to stir up the fight in all of us. No matter what good we're hearing coming from a new president, we better not let our guard down for 1 minute. We as the church still have an enemy called the devil. So I've come to wake up the radical inside of us and stir up a revolt against everything that is contrary to the Word of God in our lives. I don't care how long it's existed, or how long you have been plagued by it, or how long you have suffered from it. Listen, if it is contrary to the Word of God, it's not normal. Yes, you may have learned how to coexist with it. And I thank the Lord for the wisdom that He has given to those who develop the right medicines that we have available to us in a fallen world. And yes, we may have to have nitroglycerin tablets handy. I don't have any on me. I have some in my medicine cabinet from a few years ago, but they're probably out of date now. We may have our arthritis medicine. We may have our insulin. We may have needed medications to deal with the physical and emotional pain. Hear me now. I certainly understand those things. You may have your nicotine patches and your Nicorette gum and all of these things that may help deal and get along with the problem. But again, I need us to understand this one thing. It is not ever to become normal to us in our lives. Are you hearing me this morning? I've said it before, but I want to tell you again, cancer is not to ever be considered a normal thing going on in our lives. All other diseases and sicknesses and infirmities are never supposed to become the normal in our lives. Depression and anxiety are not to be considered normal in our lives. Strife and division in your marriage and in your family is not normal. Always struggling to pay your bills, living under a burden of debt is not supposed to be the norm in our lives. Can you say amen? There may be a history of certain diseases in your family, and the doctor may say it's in your bloodline. But understand something with me this morning. It does not have to stay that way. For the born-again believer, it's not to be a normal anymore. Well, why do I say that? Because you have a new bloodline and a new DNA. Brandon has preached so profoundly many a time about us having God's DNA in us. Here's what the Bible says about it, found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You may look at your family tree, and see alcoholics and drug addicts and wife beaters and fornicators and adulterers. But again, it's not normal because you now have a new family tree. The Bible says Jesus is the vine and we are those branches attached to His vine. There may be relatives in your family line who are living alternative lifestyles contrary to God's Word as they are in our family. And yes, we love them, but not the choices they make. And it's not ever to be accepted as normal. Are you hearing me this morning? So what are you trying to get at, Pastor, this morning? I'm so glad you ask. I'm simply saying this. Don't accept what the enemy throws at you. You don't have to accept it. Resist his lies. Rebel, revolt, defy, oppose it. Stand against anything and everything that is less than God's will and His best for our lives. Can you say amen? Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. There will never be a change until we recognize what is abnormal and out of order and we rebel against it. And watch this. You will never rebel against what is abnormal and out of order until you know and you are convinced of God's normal and God's divine order for your life. Did you know that? I've said it before, but we need to hear this over and over and over. Sickness cannot be normal when Jesus took 39 stripes to deliver us from that. Poverty and lack cannot ever be normal when God says to us from His Word, I will make you the lender and not the borrower, above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Listen, fighting and arguing and bickering cannot be normal for one's marriage. Because our marriages are supposed to be mirror images of the church's relationship to Jesus Christ. Living under a yoke of fear and worry and stress cannot become normal. Because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a sound mind. Can we believe this morning then for a real Holy Ghost rebellion to begin to rise up in this place today? Sure we can. I'm expecting something to break today. Can we believe for a fight to come back, those spiritual embers fanned into a flame in somebody's spirit on this February 2025 Sunday morning? Absolutely. Can we believe for that holy indignation and that righteous anger rising up against the devil and his lies? And we say enough is enough. Can someone make up their mind right now that the devil has pushed them around long enough? And now you're the one who's going to do the pushing. Would you just inform your neighbor beside you and say, my mind's made up. I'm pushing back. So can we take some time this morning and rehearse a little of what God's Word says about our situation? I believe I've read in God's Word where it says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Listen, as born-again believers, as members of the kingdom of heaven, can't we be violent at our enemy and take back then what has been stolen from us and what belongs to us? Sure, we can do that. And I believe the Bible also quotes the words of Jesus where He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then as the church, we have a promise then of victory for our lives. And I believe the Bible also says this, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hear me now. We have been given the power to withstand, overcome, and break every negative, stinging word or harmful, poisonous actions that are thrown at us. And I truly believe that God is getting ready then to put a period at the end of a long, hard battle for some folks today. Not a comma or a pause. Not even a question mark to wonder, well, if this will continue. But a period marking the end of a long, hard battle to make way for something new. I want something new in my life. How about you today? I'm ready for a new thing to take place. You need to quit looking then for those old familiar enemies because you're not going to see them anymore. Here's what David recorded for us, Psalms 126, verses 1 through 3. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. What I believe God is getting ready to do in some of your lives today is going to be so awesome that you too are going to feel like you're dreaming. Some of you are going to have to pinch yourself just to see, is this really real? Just like what happened to Pharaoh's army, they drown and they were left at the bottom of the sea. Would you agree and declare that this is the day you see God dealing with your enemies the same way? Not people. They're going down right now to the floor of the sea. Can you see sickness and disease going down? Addictions and bondages, depression, poverty and lack, all going down. Can you see marriage problems going down? Yes, I can. Worry and stress and anxiety, all going down, never to rise again. You might be asking then, well, what do I need to do? What do I have to do? Well, here's what God says for you to do. We read it in Exodus chapter 14. Stand still, verses 13 and 14. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that He will show you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. In other words, God is saying, just stand over there and watch me work. And while you are praising me, I'll take care of business. Has anybody got enough faith to just stand still and praise God while He works on our behalf? Again, understand, praise is a weapon in itself. If you've served God for any length of time, then have you ever noticed that the more you praise Him, the bigger God gets? The more you praise Him, the more you want to do for Him. The more you praise Him, the more power then is released in our lives. The more you praise Him, the more confused the enemy gets. You've got to know that. The more you praise Him, you will find more faith begin to rise up in your life, in your spirit. The more you praise Him, you're going to find more of the joy that rises up in your life. While Moses' hands were raised on the mountain, Joshua won the battle in the valley. While your hands and your voices are raised in praise, understand and know God is fighting your battle. Yes, there are some things God expects and requires us to do. He expects us to read His Word and learn His will for our lives. He requires us to believe His Word and then confess His Word over our lives. Confess it, that His Word is truth in our lives. But what about when you've done everything you know to do? When you've prayed, when you've fasted, when you've renewed your mind by the Word, when you've wept all that seems to be, that there's no more tears to come out. You've confessed the Word. You've rebuked the devil. You've pled the blood. You've shouted the name of Jesus over and over. What happens then, Pastor? That's when the peace speaker steps in and says, I'll take it from here. I'll take it from here. Listen, I don't know about you, I've got goosebumps on top of goosebumps right now. Moses, you stretch out the rod, I'll divide the Red Sea. Joshua, you walk around the walls, I'll knock them down. You stand on my word, I'll rebuke the cancer. Ezekiel, you prophesy to the wind, I'll make the dry bones live again. Isaac, you just go ahead and sow your seed in the time of famine. I'll bring the 100-fold harvest. You release, well, listen, somebody needs to hear this. You release that son or that wayward daughter to me, and I'll deal with them justly. Paul and Silas, you sit still there in the dark and you just praise me. I'll loose your bands and I'll open the prison doors. Listen to me. Every song today was a song of praise and worship to God, as it is every Sunday. And the song says, the weapon may be formed against me, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail, because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory, because the battle belongs to you, my Lord. I nearly went into high gear when we began to sing that today. This morning, I believe I'm talking to some people like the children of Israel in our text. You feel like the enemy has the upper hand. You feel like you've been backed into a corner. Your back's against the wall. You feel trapped. Been there. Know what I'm talking about. You can't go forward, and it seems you can't go back. Up until now, you've been able to slip by and struggle through. In the past, you fought your way out. Hear me now. You've been hanging on to a thread of hope that someday, some way, somehow, it was going to get better. It was somehow going to work itself out. But now the truth is, you have reached the place of desperation. You can no longer see your way out. You can no longer figure out if it could ever change. You can no longer see the light at the end of the tunnel. It looks hopeless, and it seems there's no relief nor hope in sight. Can I just share something really wild and crazy? This may not make sense to you, but did you know that's a great place to be? Because now you're ready to shift into a dimension called faith. God led the children of Israel into what they could see was only a trap on the edge of the sea. Why do you suppose He did something like that? First of all, He removed every dependence upon what they could see, what they could feel or hear in that moment, to show them, just as He wants to show us this morning. And that is how to walk by faith and not by sight. To show them and us the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. To show them and us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To show them and us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And God purposely, watch this, He led them into such a place to draw out the enemies. When your enemies think that you are trapped, when they think that you are helpless, when they think that you're down and you can't get up, it never fails. They become very brave and expose themselves to come in for the kill. God purposely led the children of Israel into such a place to bring an end to their enemies. He really was, Brother North, setting them up to take them down. Hear me. God was saying this to them, and He's saying that to us right now. Today I'm going to put a period and an end to this chapter of your life. That's what He's saying. When I say it's over, it's over. This particular enemy that has oppressed you, abused you, persecuted you, and made your life miserable. Listen, the enemy that has cheated you and stole from you. This enemy that has made slaves out of you and your children and tried to destroy your destiny. Today it stops. Can you say that? Today it stops. Tell yourself that today it stops. Tell the devil now, today it stops, devil. God's word to you is this, it's over. That ugly chapter in your life has come to a close. No more continual grief and pain and misery and guilt and shame. Hallelujah. He's bringing to a close sickness that's been trying to take your life, of running from your past, of struggling under a heavy burden of debt, of living in fear of what other people think and say about you. Did you know that's a biggie in people's lives? Hallelujah. Of being manipulated, intimidated, and dominated by your circumstances and the opinions of others. A closed door of slavery to a habit or addiction. I have to believe this is for somebody this morning. Exodus 14 and 30 says, when they looked the next morning, they saw the Egyptians dead up on the shore. Not one of them escaped. I know it may sound impossible to you, but God wants to give you a complete and total victory. Sadly, we've gotten used to temporary, partial victories in our lives. But I know God wants to give us all complete and permanent victory in 2025. Listen to what the minor prophet Nahum wrote. Chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. And I'm almost through. Could you get Sister Brenda to come up? Here's what Nahum wrote. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows them that trust in Him. But with an overrunning flood, He will make an utter end of the place thereof. And darkness shall pursue His enemies. Well, what do you imagine against the Lord? In other words, how mad is your attempt to plot? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. Listen, your affliction, your trouble may have been a one-time, one-moment event. Or it has lasted what seems to be a long winter's season. The word for somebody this morning, if you'll take it as your word, is this. Today is your day for a complete and permanent victory in that area. God says your enemies don't get a second time. It's over. Now you've got to believe this. I've said you've got to believe this as your word. And let me finish with this. God is going to complete the work that He started in each one of us. And you've got to know it's a good work. Any work that God does in our lives is a good work. The good seed that we have planted is going to come forth. And I truly believe there's still going to be a full delivery of those God-given dreams and desires that were conceived long ago in our lives. Here's what the prophet in Isaiah 66 and 9, here's what he wrote, declaring what the Lord is saying. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery? Or shall I, who gives delivery, shut the womb? Listen, today is your day to say goodbye once and for all to all the enemies of the past that have plagued your life, that have made your life miserable, that have been stealing your joy, stealing your peace, stealing that anointing, and putting you down. Can you say goodbye to all of those things and say hello to the new of what God is going to accomplish in you through this year? I know without a doubt we're not all fighting the same battles here today. I know that. We don't all have the same issues. But I do know we all have enemies that have been sent to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm declaring that today is our day to look up on the shore and see those enemies of the past. Amen. See them removed from our lives. As we go through 2025, we're going to go full force knowing we serve a big God. Can we determine anew that we're going to dwell on and carry out the plans and the purposes that God has laid out for us as a church for the end times? I believe we can. No matter what comes our way, we're going to trust Him. That's the key to the whole thing. Can you trust Him? Can you believe Him? And do what He says to do. Then guess what? We cannot help but be victorious. Because when God says it's over, it's over. Amen. Goodbye past. Hello new. Amen and amen. Sister North, come on up. To those watching.